Get like I did 35 years ago. Get your children started. I mean, this ought to be something for the whole family. And this little matter in our church family, where the children come by and you put a dime or 25 cent in their hand. What's going to happen when you're not there to put something in their hand? So you need to teach them to tithe and then teach them to give a mission. The children are some of the most profitable servants of the Lord. When you really teach them how to tithe and how to give, and then one day you're not going to be there to put anything in their hand. But they'll still have a heart for the things of God, and we're failing in our families. We're failing our children by just letting them come by on Sunday morning and putting a dime or a quarter in their hand when you need to reward them if they do something. Now, don't overpay them and spoil them, because you ought to find something to do that they can make some money, and then you teach them how to tithe and how to give a faith, promise, offering, and then that's the way that your family, it'll be such a blessing to them and to your family, and that's how we go up together, and if we'll go up together, then the offering will be there when God's people. See, little is much when God is in it. See, I know this, when I pay my tithe at the Temple Baptist Church in UIB, see, that's not going to pay the light bill and the staff and the school, because our light bill is $1,500 a month. And then when we think about the school and all that, now some of that's paid by the school, but most of it's paid by the church, and then our pastor and the staff. But I know that when all those Cajuns come together, we put all of our tithe together, in 27 years, we've never defaulted on anything. Why? Because we come in together, we bring our tithes, we put them together, and then 27 years ago, I was there when the work started, 27 years ago. We still have the same pastor. I helped him to start that. Brother Gott is a pastor. He's a 100 Cajun. And we started out with two missionaries 27 years ago. We had our mission conference in December, and we took on 19 more missionaries at $70 a month. And that gives us 124 missionaries at $70 a month. And we were able to give all the missionaries a raise. Why? Because of God's people coming together. Now, those Cajuns have really taken, just like they do those Bayous, they've really taken to faith, promise, giving. And if you'll ever get a part of this and get the blessings of God on your life, I mean, you'll be anxious every year, knowing that you're going to look to God for divine approval and God's direction in your life to find out what God wants you to do. It'll be the most thrilling time of your life. The high water mark in the life of our church is the Faith Promise Revival. We have 8 days. We go from Sunday through Sunday. We start at 6 o'clock each evening and go after 9 every night. We have 4 missionaries report every night. We give them 30 minutes, and then I preach. And I've been doing that now for 27 years. And I try to get them out, because we don't just keep them there to just be key, but we use them to try to get out around 9 o'clock. And some of you, if you ever come, you know they come. They don't know that they're not supposed to come. See, I mean, they were all French Catholic. When they get saved, I mean, they come to everything. They're always there. We average about 400 in the church. And God's people, those Cajuns coming together, some of them can't even speak English. They still come. They're just as faithful as they can hear every word under God. We had a family that have been there about 25 years, can't understand one word English. And they come to every service. And last week, they had to be put in a nursing home in St. Martinville, there near New Iberia. And boy, my heart, when old E10 Booty and his wife were going to have to be put in a nursing home, boy, really, I tell you, just touched my heart so profoundly. They've been there faithful all those years under God. And that's what God wants out of your life and my life. The one measuring rod of your life and my life is faithfulness under God. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give to thee a crown of life. And our missionaries, many of them, have died being faithful to Jesus. See, I grew up during the Great Depression when we sent out more missionaries per capita than we're sending out today. You know how we sent them out? We called it God's Acre. Now, I was just a lad, and then finally a little young teenager in the late 30s. And people would give an acre of corn or an acre of cotton, acre of peanuts down in South Alabama. It may be a cow, a hog, but they called it God's Acre. And we sent out more missionaries during the Great Depression like that than we're sending out during these days of affluence and materialism. And a great army of missionaries went to China. And then when Japan invaded China in 1936, many of those missionaries were taken prisoner. Many of them have never been heard from since that time. Now, you've heard the testimony of Darlene Rose, but that was the testimony of many of those missionaries. Many of them died in concentration camp, and they've never been heard from. At that time, I was just a teenager, 1936, 37. I never envisioned that one day I'd be in China. Not as a missionary, but in the military. And we'd be there looking for some of those people after the war, trying to find them in concentration camp. But we never found them. And one of them was Susie Parker. She was from Kentucky. She had gone out during the 1930s to China. And when that little church there was sending her away, they had a little fellowship for her and say goodbye to her. And the pastor said, Brother Parker, is there something you'd like to come and say on behalf of your daughter? And he came and stood before the church and said, I'd just like to say one thing. Nothing that I have is too good for Jesus. Now, could you stand tonight and say that here? Nothing that I have is too good for Jesus. Susie Parker went to China. She was never heard from again. After the war, they thought sure she'd be found in a concentration camp. And come home, they waited, but she never came. And she's never come because she's probably already home. And so that little church there in Kentucky, they were having a memorial service in honor. And again, the pastor looked out and said, Brother Parker, is there something you'd like to come and say in memory of your daughter? And he came and stood before the church and said, I'd just like to say one thing. I want to say the same thing I said when Susie went away. Nothing that I have is too good for Jesus. Now, if you're lost, what you're really saying is, my life is too important to me to give it to Jesus. And a lot of those who are saved feel, you know, that man, what I have, man, it's mine, it's too important, it's too invaluable to me to give to the Lord. But just envision the time that you're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to give a personal, accurate, and complete accounting of your stewardship to the Lord. And if you'll be thankful. See, God has attached thanks to giving. And there's not going to be any giving unless you're thankful. And when you're thankful, it'll disperse and dispel all the misgivings. Now, man has attached miss to giving, and we call it misgivings. But see, God never attached that to giving. Now, that is man, and a lot of us have misgiving about mission because we're not thankful to God, we're not a grateful people, and that's the reason we miss. We hit and miss because we've got misgivings. Now, do you have misgivings about giving the mission, or do you have thanksgiving unto God? It would help us in every area. We'd just be more grateful, more thankful to God. I mean, every morning when you get up, the first thing you ought to do, I mean, is to look out and say, where is Jesus? There is. Well, that's the way I'm going today. I'm going to be thankful for the life that God has put in my body today, and I'm going to use that for the glory of God. I'm going to be a thankful people unto God, and you'll never feel like that you're giving too much when you're a thankful people unto the Lord. And then finally, God has attached another word to giving, and that's forgiving. To have God's forgiveness. See, God loves the word giving so much until He attached thanks to it. and called it thanksgiving. And then God loves giving so much until He attached for and called it forgiving. And that's the greatest blessing that can come to any life. I mean, is to hear Jesus say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee. Go in peace." And I mean, you feel like, I mean, the world is taken off of your shoulders. But many out there, they've never heard the message of forgiveness and the grace of God. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all of our sins. And so have thanksgiving that others can receive the message of forgiveness. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I feel I just close here. My message is ended. But I believe God wants this to be a new beginning for some here tonight. Now, I want you to look right at your heart, because that's where God's looking, right at your heart. Look right down at your heart. That's where God is looking. God looks most where you and I look the least, at the heart. And God wants to fix your heart. David said, "My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed." Now, these services, the purpose for them is to fix something, to fix your heart. Get your heart fixed on loving God supremely and loving others sincerely and then loving the mission work sacrificially. See, that's how you can tell whether you really love God or you love the work of God and God's vision that He has for this world of getting His message out there. What are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to sacrifice our life, our time? Maybe God is dealing with you about going. Here's someone here now. This would really settle it and seal it. If someone would say, "God is calling me to some area of full-time Christian work. I don't know all the detail. I don't know all the ramifications. But I want God to know that I'm available." Now, if God is dealing with you, then you need to get up and come. Let the church know. Let the pastor know that he can pray for you and the church can pray for you. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. I'm going to pray. Brother Charlie's here to give the invitation. And this is the most sacred, the most solemn time to serve it. Are you thankful? Are you showing that thanksgiving unto God by living a life of devotion and dedication and consecration to the Lord? He's counting on us, the story to tell. His way of salvation for man, He's counting on you and you and you and you. He's counting on me. God has no other plan. Now, Father, thank You for the Apostle Paul magnifying thanksgiving and coupled it up with giving. And God, we know thanksgiving will dispel all the misgivings that some have. And I pray for those tonight who, God, have misgivings. And God, they hit and miss because of these misgivings. And so I pray, God, they'll get all the way in and realize that, Lord, this is something that's 52 weeks that we can trust Thee. And then next year, they'll be back here with their faith increased, with their vision expanded, that they'll be more and love more and be able to give more because their faith has grown exceedingly. Lord, just grip us and bring us, oh God, draw us with cords of love to Thy feet. In Jesus' name.